This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti. And thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. Purport. The three different forms of Mahavishnu, namely Karnadakashaya Vishnu, Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, and Shiradakashaya Vishnu, who are the origin of creation and maintenance, are gradually being described. From Mahavishnu, Garbhadakashaya Vishnu is generated, and from Garbhadakashaya Vishnu, Shiradakashaya Vishnu gradually expands. Thus, Mahavishnu is the original cause of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and from Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes the lotus flower from which Lord Brahma is manifested. Thus the original cause of everything is Vishnu. And consequently the cosmic manifestation is not different from Vishnu. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. What's 10.8? Who said Prabhavo? Prabhavo. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Karnadakshaya Vishnu, who is an expansion of Sankarshan. Karnadakshaya Vishnu is also known as Karnanavarshaya Vishnu and also known as Karnabdishaya Vishnu. In this way, Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes, sarva karanam, karana karanam. The conclusion is that both the material world and the spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that the material body is caused by the spiritual body and is therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. Similarly, in this material world, when the Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. Om Agyanati Midanda Syaginanjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmaya Shigurave Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Actually, even if we say Krishna, this is someone else. Who is it? Mother Kunti? Draupadi? Draupadi. Also, it's not Narsringa. Narsringa means not beautiful. And you may think that's could be appropriate, judging by the way he appeared, smashed his way out of a pillar, roaring, but it's not his name. His name is Narasingha, which means human and lion. Or Nrisingha. It's a little more difficult to say, but since the Lord is none different from his name. It's nice to get it right. While we're on the subject, is in the last line of the Mangalarti prayers. It's not yas yas trisandhyam, dhyayams tuvams tasya yas yas. It's not. It's yas yashas. It's also a different word. Generally, everybody says yas yas. Another thing. It's an offense to say obeisances to the spiritual master quietly. Generally, when the curtain opens, everybody does obeisances, dandavats, and there's total silence in the room. It's not right. It should be spoken out loud. It takes a little more effort, but the glorification of the spiritual master should be out loud. It's one of the listed offenses in deity worship. So this verse, Prahlad Maharaj is making sure that we understand who Krishna is. Before we come to the pastimes of the Lord, it's essential that we understand who Krishna is. Otherwise, when we hear the pastimes, which are the real essence and the goal and the nectar, we will mistake them. We will misunderstand who is performing the pastimes. So, we should know, as Prahlada Maharaj is explaining, Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagat stana niroda sambhava. We should know that this universe itself is Krishna. It's the body of Krishna. Of course, it's his separated energy, just as a spider spins its web. The web comes out of the body of the spider. And it's like it is the separated energy of the spider. It's non-different from the spider. He can wind it up also. So, similarly, yato jagat stana nirodha sambhava. This universe, it is the body of the Supreme Lord. Everything within it, this building, the grounds, the village, the county, the country, the planet, is nothing but Krishna. There's not something different from Krishna, although we think it is. And the whole yato jagat stana nirodha sambhava. Stana nirodha sambhava means the creation, the maintenance, and the destruction. It all takes place only on Krishna's command and by his arrangement and with his energy. Stana means exists. It is existing. Star. Sanskrit is such a wonderful language. That's why we should take the trouble to pronounce it. This word stana, for instance, is the source. Sanskrit is the mother of all languages. It is not yet commonly admitted in scholarly circles. But stana, for instance, means to remain, to exist, to be in a place. And from this word stana, we get so many, from this Sanskrit base root, sta, we get so many English words. Can anyone think of some? Stable. Stand. Stay. Station. Your station in life. The train stopped at the station. static stage. You stand on a stage as the standing place. Stance all comes from this sta, this word sta. And but they don't admit, of course, because they're rascals and they want to maintain a society which does not admit the existence of God. So they need a philosophy, so they turn a blind eye to the fact that all human civilization, our language, our everything, has sprung from the Vedic civilization of India. They say Indo-European. They say that they're such rascals. They say that the source of language is the Indo-European family, which is a total concoction. Indo-European means it means what they say is that there are many languages which have many correspondences in sound and meaning. So this includes Germanic languages, which English is a Germanic language, and German, of course, and then Italic, the Italian languages, Slavic, is it Russian and Polish, the Romance languages, which have come from Latin, like French, Spanish. They all have common features. Like in French, this st is just the same. They have the same words, stabilité and stage, so many. So they say that this family, if you look in the dictionary, Indo-European, it'll say the prime is interesting. The primary definition of Indo-European in the dictionary is a family of languages of European origin, and then the secondary definition they put is a prehistoric language, which is the parent of all these languages. That's Sanskrit. They don't say it, but that's Sanskrit, of course. They don't admit it. But that's the secondary definition. So it's very nebulous. What is it? Is it the family of languages that is the source? Or is it the parent language that's the source? One day they'll come around. And anyway, this you can see, when I was growing up, still growing up, but when I was a youth, I always wanted a reference point. You know, I didn't really like the scientific presentation. I didn't think that my other mentors, teachers, parents, I didn't think they had a lot to say about life. And I always wanted a kind of reference point, like what is this society? Where do we come from, and where are we going? Where are we headed? And what is real? You know, everyone's got a different opinion about everything. What can I believe? What is, you know, where do my feet actually touch the ground? And it turns out that language is one thing. By understanding the very words that we speak, their roots go back to the Vedic society, to the mother of all languages. And like Hemel Hempstead, stead means place. Instead of, in place of, stead means place. Stallion is another word. A stallion is a horse that is kept in a stall. He's a stallion for the purpose of breeding, of course. He's kept in a stall. And so just by understanding the words that we're speaking, we can, it'll give us, this is Itihas, you know, the four pramanas. Shabda Brahma, that's the actual praman. But there are others like Pratyaksha and Anuman, the Anumans, the proofs. Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Itihas, also history. It's not absolute proof, but it's a proof. So by understanding the etymology of the words that we're speaking, the history, we can get some understanding of some bearing on things, some relation to reality. The word matter, for instance. Matter. It comes from Latin materia, which was used to describe... Materia is the inner core of a tree. As a tree grows, it grows from the materia. And it's called materia, that means because the life of the tree is just under the bark. The core of the tree is more or less dead matter, and it expands each year. You know, if you cut a tree, you can count the rings, and you know how many years old it is, because each year it expands from the core. So it's called materia, and this word materia in Latin comes from mater. Actually, I don't know the right pronunciation of it. It's either mater or mater, which means mother. In Sanskrit, matri. Obviously, Latin comes from the Sanskrit. So materia means the mother wood, that the other wood is born from. So this word, so therefore we can understand that matter is the mother. That's how we can understand what matter is. It's the mother from which the living beings are born. And that topic is being covered here by Prahlad Maharaj. Because Krishna is the father who places the living entities. He says, Aparayamitastvanyam prakriting vidime param. First he says, Bhumerapanalo vayu kang mano buddhi revacha. And then, Ahankara itiyame binna. You see, I think Krishna's showing off to Arjuna a little bit here. He says, he's saying all these material elements, binna prakriti ras, tada! He says, maybe he's not showing off. But then he says, Aparayamitastvanyam prakritim vidime param jivabhuta mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. They are dharyate. They are exploiting all these material elements. And the living entity is not one of the material elements. Aparayam, apart from this inferior energy, there's the superior energy of mind, the jivabhuta. They are different. They are plural. If you have a tendency to Mayavad philosophy, just study this verse. Jiva Bhutam is a plural. The living entities, they are not a material element. And they are placed Kamana Divinetrena Janto Dehapatirge. They are placed in the womb, which is the mother, matter. They are placed in the womb of the material nature, the prakriti, it is feminine. And the living entity is described as a purusha, not the mahapurusha. So Krishna is the father, and he is responsible for the whole manifestation in the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Such a nice verse. This verse is a whole encyclopedia of knowledge. In the first line of the first verse, Srila Vyasadeva, he's just packed everything in. Om janma dyasya yataha yaton vayadi talatash charteshu abhigya salat. You can study every syllable of this You could give class on this verse forever, on that line forever. Janmad yasya yataha, he from whom everything has emanated. Anyavat itaratash, the whole philosophy of Achintya Beda Beda Tattva is there. Anyway, it's very hard to stop, but it's 8:30. So are there any questions or comments?